Welcome to Trade Finance Talks, a podcast from Trade Finance Global. During this series, we'll be hearing from global experts, as well as learning about the latest trends, technology, and insights in the world of international trade and receivables finance. Episode 1.
My name is Dipesh Patel, editor at TFG. 2018 saw an unprecedented pace of change in trade, driven by geopolitics, sweeping regulatory changes, and technological development across trade tech. Moving into 2019, in a climate of uncertainty, there are three main themes emerging: trade wars and sanctions, the regulatory treatment of trade, and the digitization of trade. The decisions and advances made right now will affect global trade and its $9 trillion US dollar contribution to the global economy for decades to come. With that in mind, Trade Finance Global have partnered with FCI at their fifth Factoring and Commercial Finance Summit this March in Lisbon. I recently spoke with Lochen Tabuel, COO of Codex. Lochen's entire career has been in IT for the financial and now the SCF industry. And as Codex's Group Managing Director, we wanted to hear about some of the advances in software and technology within the corporate finance and factoring sector.
Hi, Lochen, and welcome. So for our listeners, Hello. Please can you introduce yourself and Codex?
Yes, sure. Thank you. So indeed, I'm the COO of Codex, and Codex is a technology provider, so software editor. And we've created the IMX solution over 15 years ago, so 25 in total, to service the needs of any company providing commercial finance products to its customers. And that includes factoring, supply chain finance, and many other flavors and subproducts of those two large categories. So we service our customers worldwide, and we are a group of about 650 persons at the moment.
Great, thank you. So what are factoring and commercial finance companies expecting from their IT systems these days?
I should summarize it as a lot, and I will expand a little bit. So for sure, speed delivery, speed in terms of operations processing, as well as in terms of time to market, whenever something is identified as needed, either a new system or a new feature in the system, then it's more than ever, there's a strong expectation to get it out of the door and ready to be used and benefit to the customers extremely fast. Beyond that, for sure, what those companies are expecting nowadays is a lot of efficiency improvements, so improving the efficiency of the internal users, an ever-increasing integration within the bank or the company's IT landscape, and even with external data provider and service providers, like the credit insurers, like potentially collection agencies, like company information providers, credit agencies, and so on and so forth. So to make that as seamless as possible and as connected as possible, with the obviously with the end goal of providing to the end customer, to their customers, all the answers that the customer needs and eventually the funding in a timely manner, of course. And then also the expectation is around being able to grow, because not all of those actors are already fully established company. There are quite many new entrants in the factoring world or commercial finance world. And last but not least is adaptability, of course.
So adaptability, who and what is that for?
The market, the commercial, when we say factoring, it tends to be a little bit stable, but there is more than one factoring. At least we should call it receivables finance. And in the receivables finance space, we see many flavors of products falling under this umbrella. And depending whether our customers fund the whole portfolio, fund invoice by invoice, or groups of invoices, so single invoice finance, selective invoice finance, bundle finance, and so on. These are basically are shaped as new products popping up all the time. And it's important for the IT system to support that, to have flexibility and to be able to adapt itself and be easily adaptable to those new needs on the market and those new product flavors. And the second aspect, which is partially linked to that, is this is a market which is maturing. And as a consequence, the needs in terms of internal processing, business rules, configuration, parameterization is evolving over time and is evolving with the maturity also of the end customers. So the suppliers being funded mostly. And as they get more mature, they need less many explanations, but they need more controls on the fraud side because they understand how it works. So all the things, the IT systems that we have to propose nowadays needs to have this level of built-in flexibility.
Great. So as a result of this evolution, are established factoring companies actively looking at modernizing their core factoring systems?
Well, the short answer is yes. We receive a lot and really a lot of RFPs for IT systems in the renewal within the established factoring companies and banks. And a lot of investment decisions have been postponed for a long period of time, but in the last couple of years, they are really all unblocked and moving forward. And the selection processes, quite many selection processes had been frozen and were restarted. A lot of them have been completed last year and many more will get completed this year. So it's definitely a strong interest to get all those IT systems refreshed, remodeled, renewed, modified, changed. And we see this tendency is not going to slow down in the coming months. For sure, the next two quarters will be exactly the same.
Great. So, Lochan, what are your thoughts on the platformization of factoring? So from a specialized IT supplier standpoint, and does this really exist in the market right now? And also on that part, is there a need for platformization within this space?
I don't really see a platformization of factoring per se for multiple reasons, but it's one and the main reason is factoring as factoring requires a lot of understanding of the customer and a close contact with the customers and a real attention to the customers of the customers, so the buyers basically. And with a pure platform approach, that you cannot do it. Next to that, I do see what's going on the selective invoice finance world and market. And there there is clearly a platformization, which, well, it exists. So we'll see how it evolves over time and how it can support the next global economy slowdown. But for the time being, for sure, this is an alternative to traditional factoring and traditional funders. And we even have prospective customers in this world. So it's some of them are really getting to a decent size and have matured their model as well to try to mitigate the risk of the link, which is inherent to such a product. And that product is really quite far from factoring in terms of risk management, in terms of customer approach, and globally in terms of philosophy. But I usually do not put them in conflict because they are really a different offering. And I would say they complement each other rather than compete against each other. I don't think a company with going for selective invoice discounting would go for a full-fledged factoring product at the same moment. This corresponds to different needs for different suppliers and companies.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. And very interesting point on the fact that the actual products differ so widely between companies. And also on the platformization issue, we see the same in the trade market, given the complexity of the various different elements of trade finances. It's often very difficult to implement and put a lot of these technologies on a platform as a one-size-fits-all answer. So very, very interesting points there. And on a similar note, we talk often about the fintech revolution and the digitization of trade and receivables finance. To what extent has this affected and impact some of your clients, and in particular Codex as the software provider?
So it impacts us, our client base, in two ways. One, it has brought us new customers. As I was saying, we already have some fintech into our customer base, which obviously didn't exist. And the second aspect is that has pushed some of our customers to really rethink, one, their web strategy, and two, their product portfolio. With some of those platforms getting bigger or fintech getting bigger and attracting some market attention, those traditional players who used to think this is not for them, they have now started to think, well, probably they can make it work to some extent because that, let's call it selective invoice discounting, can also be seen as a first step in the factoring world into establishing an invoice or receivables finance appetite for some smaller size companies or companies who would not look at a full-fledged factoring. and get them used to it and get them to like it and eventually convert into factoring customers. So that has brought some of our customers into really considering seriously or even already starting proposing some selective invoice financing product. And even for those who have not made that step yet, the whole fintech, not revolution, but evolution for sure, has brought the traditional players to pay much more attention to their web presence and the usability and the ease of use of their web portal. So they don't push their customers into basically looking at something else because at a different product, not because it's better, but just because it would be easier to use.
Okay, great. And I know you talked about that, or you touched upon it, that I think it was at the fourth Supply Chain Finance Summit in Amsterdam back in January. And I know you'll be revisiting and discussing some of these points in terms of the myths or reality of fully digitally integrating some of the products and contracts, especially at rFIX next week as well. So leading on from that, and I guess to conclude some of the points you've mentioned today, how do you see the short to medium term future for some of your systems from a fintech perspective, such as IMX?
For us, it's a never-ending process. We enrich the solution with ideas and recommendations from our internal analysts and from new requests that we see either from our customers or from the market in general. But to be more concrete and more precise in the short term and medium term, for sure the integration aspect, especially with e-invoicing platform, will keep growing anyway. There are all those regulations, Europe-wide and beyond, to move full speed into e-invoicing globally, in various stages, but still that's the way we're going. And this is also going to ease the receivables finance data exchange. So definitely for us, a big point of attention and work there, do the right partnership with the right invoicing platforms to develop that and make it readily available to our customers. A bit longer term is the same idea of integration, but with blockchain solutions. If and when it's becoming clear that some of them will become mainstream, there are some very interesting and growing solutions out there already, not yet fully commercial offering, but at least some good proof of concepts. And we keep a close eye on what's going on there to try to identify the future winners. And then we will integrate with them because this has to be the future for not only receivables finance, but for commercial finance in general with purchase order data, shipment data, and invoice data, both supply chain finance and factoring receivables finance. Having that as a backbone for all large groups of buyers and suppliers to exchange their commercial documents will help tremendously the supply chain commercial finance industry. So that's for the integration piece. From a more technical standpoint and explanatory standpoint, we are looking into artificial intelligence and how to apply it to the commercial finance industry, especially for prediction of or probability of getting the invoices paid and when, how long it will take to get the invoices paid back by the buyers, probability of default from customers, probability of fraud from customers, all those things. It would be easy if we were sharing data across multiple customers and benefiting from huge data warehouses, but this is not our positioning and this is not something we want to do to protect the data from our customers. So we are trying to see how to apply all those models and so on at the scale and the level of one given bank or funder. So this is a part of our roadmap for the future to define how we can apply artificial intelligence at the scale and the level of our users. So users being customers. The last point, but which is also a never-ending process, and this is good because this is how it has to be, is the evolution to keep tracking and being on the forefront of the evolution of the web portals that we give our customers to propose to their customers. Because it's very obvious nowadays that more and more is happening over the web. It has to be self-service as much as possible for the customers without losing the touch and the feeling on what the customers are doing and how they are doing, the health of the companies. So try to find the right balance between a very easy, convenient tool for the customers where they don't need to contact their funder, their bank, and yet propose features, information on the portals so they are inclined to still once in a while get in touch with their customer relationship manager. So this person, keeps the right feeling about these companies. This is all still an area where there's a lot of progress to be done. Building nice looking pages is important, but there is more behind it and there is more around it that is coming for the future.
Very, very interesting, Lohan. And I think the three general themes around what you've discussed today, both in terms of what's happening in the short to medium future, but also what Codex is addressing now, is very much along the lines of integration. So that is integration of some of the systems, the products, both internally and externally. And I guess future looking, it's thinking about how can we integrate the data between buyers, sellers, financiers, traders, etc. And I guess that leads on to the second theme, which is very much around behavioral insights and using some of this data, take a look at predicting when invoices might be paid, perhaps using data to rethink the way credit scoring is done between customers and suppliers. And then I guess the final theme there is really about usability and the customer journey. As more and more brands come into the space of factoring, how do we look at the customer journey? And it's not necessarily about building a fancy front end that looks very nice, but actually looking at the customer needs and the customer touch points, addressing that and integrating some of these systems into a seamless customer journey so that access to finance and all of the back end systems that are kind of the backbone software of this, how does that look and how does that appear? Yeah, no, thank you very much. So look, I know Codex will be speaking at and sponsoring the 5th Factoring and Commercial Finance Summit, which the FCI are hosting this March in Lisbon. So definitely catch up with Codex and Lohan at that summit. I guess that's everything from today's Trade Finance Talks podcast. Thank you very much, Lohan. Really good to hear from you. And we really look forward to hearing from you more this month.
Yep, you're very welcome. It was my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Trade Finance Talks. Be sure to subscribe to our podcasts at tradefinanceglobal.com.